As we discussed in Entering the Bitcoin Renaissance, our last edition, Lightning Labs CEO and co-founder Elizabeth Stark told The Block, "A major narrative of the next cycle will be the Bitcoin Renaissance, and it has already begun in full swing." Only a few months later, and that is proving to be quite prescient. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. We've got a great show today, and this show is brought to you by Swan Bitcoin and CoinKite. Swan Bitcoin is the place to buy your Bitcoin, and right now, up to $10,000 is no fees. Zero. You want to buy $1 of Bitcoin, you get $1 of Bitcoin, period. Check it out. Buy it right in the app. You can just download the app. It takes you a couple of minutes. Boom, you're buying Bitcoin. In fact, it's one of the quickest onboardings that I know of. And then you grab yourself a cold card, which you can get a discount for with my code, Bitcoin Audible, all one word. Link and details will be in the show notes. And that's how you're going to keep your Bitcoin safe. And I have got some really freaking cool, I think I shared it out already, but really awesome new cases for my cold card. And I am just freaking stoked about them. I just love it. I'm going to just sit this up on my desk. It's just like a decoration. Got them from Crypto Cloaks. In fact, you know, I'll put a link to them as well. They're not a sponsor or affiliate or anything. I just big fan of Crypto Cloaks, buy a bunch of shit from them. All right, today we have a read, and it is from Ryan Gentry. It's basically an update from Lightning Labs that came out back towards the end of February. It was shortly after the ETFs were launched, which is really funny to think about that the ETFs are literally only like 2 months old. It's funny how quickly something feels like ancient history in this space. But it's basically a breakdown. Like, a big part of this article, like, I really like the framing and how he introduces it and kind of explaining where the state of kind of the Lightning ecosystem and development is and where development is going. But then in addition, there's actually a whole section about bullet points of companies, services, wallets, platforms, new integrations, new Lightning address types, Nostr Connect usage, update. I mean, just apps and services and stuff galore that have been updated in Lightning. And it's basically a series of bullet points about what is going on. So it does get, you know, a lot of it's like kind of technical updates. So you can feel free to skip it. I encourage you not to, even if you only kind of pick up like half of it as being useful to you. But honestly, I think it's really great to listen to, if not just to get a feel for the size and breadth of what is happening in the space right now and how much groundwork is being laid for what is clearly a new cycle that we are headed into now. And you may just hear about some sort of a service or tool that could be extremely relevant to something that you're trying to solve. And I mean, there's probably 10 or 15 things in this list that I didn't even know about. And I'm clicking on links and exploring all of this stuff because there's just a massive amount to explore. So I think it'll actually be really useful to listen to it. That's why I decided to go ahead and just go ahead and read it. But with that, let's just go ahead and get into the read, and then we will do a guy's take to follow up. And it is titled, "The Bitcoin Renaissance is in full swing. How Lightning will connect everything off-chain," by Ryan Gentry. Welcome to the latest edition of The Lightning Lab, a newsletter filled with Lightning Network updates, community coverage, and of course, memes. 2024 has started with a bang with the Bitcoin ETF approval, Taproot Assets launches, surging interest in AI and Lightning, and a ton of building on Bitcoin. With all the recent momentum, there's never been a better time to build on Bitcoin. Tweet from Nick Carter. It's Bitcoin L2 season, in a manner that is truly unprecedented, and I mean that literally. The Bitcoin Renaissance is in full swing. As we discussed in Entering the Bitcoin Renaissance, our last edition, Lightning Labs CEO and co-founder Elizabeth Stark told The Block, quote, "A major narrative of the next cycle will be the Bitcoin Renaissance, and it has already begun in full swing. Only a few months later, and that is proving to be quite prescient. A chart from Electric Capital, developerreport.com. 40% of all Bitcoin open source developers were focused on Bitcoin L2s and scaling solutions in 2023. Electric Capital's annual crypto developer report included this slide that highlighted what we've been feeling. Developer interest in scaling Bitcoin is at all-time highs. It's easy to understand why. The Bitcoin ETFs are live. The halving is only a couple of months away. And it seems that the design space for building on Bitcoin has never been broader. The Bitcoin Renaissance is most definitely here. We at Lightning Labs are loving the surge in developer excitement, because in general, new talent and new ideas are good for Bitcoin. But also, specifically, all of these new off-chain ideas are great for the continued growth of the Lightning Network, Bitcoin's biggest Layer 2. The growing developer community is excited about a few specific new categories of off-chain Bitcoin protocols. 1. New federation-based solutions like Fediments and Cashew for Chalmi and eCash, and Spider Chains for novel risk management of bridged funds. 2. Leveraging zero-knowledge proofs to build ZK rollups, a new type of sidechain that leverages the Bitcoin blockchain for data availability and double spend protection for its own natively issued assets. 3. Designing new off-chain bridging solutions with BitVM, a new computing paradigm to express Turing-complete Bitcoin contracts and investigating covenants as a way to boost UX and security improvements to all off-chain protocols. Federation-based solutions like Fediments, Cashew, and Spider Chains are all similar in that some group of off-chain operators receive Bitcoin payments on-chain and then mint new tokens backed, to varying degrees, by those new Bitcoin deposits off-chain. This means that securely moving funds into and out of these solutions requires waiting an hour for multiple Bitcoin block confirmations. For this reason, all of the federation-based solutions are building ways to connect to the Lightning Network so their users can send and receive instant payments to the many wallets, exchanges, and merchants already connected to Lightning. This makes Lightning the interoperability layer between these new systems. These new off-chain environments will only serve to expand the network effects of Lightning as a global routing protocol, building more users and more volume and keeping the flywheel spinning. Lightning Labs CTO Laulu Asuntakan presented his ideas regarding bringing ZK proofs to Bitcoin last year at Starkware Sessions, so we are thrilled to see developer momentum around the idea. In general, zero-knowledge proofs allow for the compression of large datasets into compact, easily verifiable proofs, which will enable Lightning developers to bring instant, secure synchronization times to mobile users to drastically improve user experience. Taproot Assets developers can leverage the same techniques to make on-chain transfers more user-friendly by decreasing the on-chain proof sizes. Further, a new zero-knowledge proof verifying opcode could be included in the Taproot Assets virtual machine without a Bitcoin soft fork to support next-generation application building. BitVM, originally proposed by researcher Robin Linus, has captured the attention of off-chain Bitcoin developers because of its potential to enable a new trust model for off-chain protocols. Instead of needing to trust the majority of a federation to be honest in order to withdraw your coins, users may only need to trust one member to be honest. This would be a huge improvement if true. On Lightning, of course, users running their own nodes and holding their own keys don't need to trust a counterparty. So BitVM would be helping other off-chain protocols attempt to approach Lightning's level of trust minimization. Taproot Assets developers could make use of new BitVM techniques in building trust-minimized asset bridges from non-Bitcoin blockchains back to Taproot Assets, or in productizing the Pocket Universe concept, a new type of solution for non-custodial, off-chain exchange development with native Lightning integration. Covenants, unlike BitVM, would require the Bitcoin community to agree to an upgrade via soft fork that would empower users to pre-configure the future conditions under which specific coins can be spent. Developers are currently discussing 7 different proposals, with a focus on applications like vaults for more programmable cold storage, and also on enabling more off-chain protocols generally by decreasing end-user interactivity requirements. As a specific example, certain Covenant proposals would allow Lightning developers to build safer and more scalable channel factories compared to what's possible today, as a self-custodied off-chain option for users, in addition to making the protocol as a whole more developer-friendly. Taproot Assets developers will similarly be able to leverage Covenant's capabilities to build out pocket universes, and also to trustlessly bridge Bitcoin itself into Taproot Assets as a one-to-one backed asset. Importantly, building Bitcoin DeFi, or finance tools that inherit as much of Bitcoin's trust minimization as possible, is a major motivation of these new off-chain projects, and DeFi will require the stablecoins issued on Taproot Assets in order to thrive, so the timing for these new projects couldn't be better. Lightning will be the interoperable glue that will connect them all. Tweet from Bob Bodily: anything that has ever been done on any other blockchain is coming to Bitcoin. Response from Starkness, Elizabeth Stark: welcome to the 2024 Bitcoin vibe. In 2024, the vibe is about everything coming back to Bitcoin, as Lightning Labs CEO Elizabeth Stark noted. To that end, we are so excited that the Bitcoin developer community is growing and focusing on expanding Bitcoin's off-chain capabilities. Lightning Labs and the open source community have leveraged the 2021 Taproot upgrade to build a scalable asset issuance protocol in Taproot Assets that will bring stablecoins to the Lightning network, and to bring Taproot channels to node operators for more cost-effective and private channel and liquidity management. Imagine what will be built with new federation-based solutions, zero-knowledge proofs, BitVM, and possibly Covenants. News and updates. Lightning launches. Brains Mining introduced Lightning Payouts. Their miners can now instantly receive mining rewards with no minimum or fees. The Lightning to Mining convergence is happening. LN Markets integrated a DLC marketplace and completed a $3 million seed round led by EgoDeath Capital. A DLC is a native smart contract built on Bitcoin, which enables the delivery of a payoff depending only on the publication of a price by an oracle. Strike launched Strike Africa, expanding their full suite of Bitcoin and Lightning services into Gabon, Ivory Coast, Malawi, Nigeria, South Africa, Uganda, and Zambia. Athena Bitcoin announced that they're rolling out Lightning support to hundreds of their ATMs. Royo, a search engine and explorer for Taproot Assets, is now running on Mainnet. They recently released version 0.1.0, in which they store and display Taproot Assets metadata. Noster Assets launched their Mainnet Taproot Assets release, allowing users to transfer Bitcoin and Taproot Assets through Noster. They're also partnering with Voltage to enable their next phase of growth with non-custodial solutions. Tiramisu Wallet, a wallet for the Taproot Assets protocol, went live on Mainnet, enabling users to mint, send, and receive assets on Bitcoin. Lightning Stats. LN Markets announced hitting $2 billion in cumulative trading volume since inception, just 3 months after exceeding the $1 billion mark. Slice, a browser extension that pays users for viewing ads, reached 600,000 downloads. 80% of their payouts are processed over the Lightning network. Wallet of Satoshi has officially made 15 million Lightning transactions since inception. Here's to the next 15 million. Bitcoin Jungle enabled more than 200 stores in Costa Rica to receive Bitcoin payments through BTC Pay server. They also outlined how they are using Lightning Loop to handle on-chain transactions. Noster Assets received more than 177 BTC in Lightning deposits during the first month of mainnet operations for their Taproot Assets exchange. River announced that by the end of January, they had cumulatively routed 10.1 thousand Bitcoin, or $455 million, across 3.8 million total Lightning transactions, averaging 268,000 sats or $109 per transaction. Zebedee shared Delphi's November 2023 report titled Bitcoin Gaming and the Power of Nanotransactions, which revealed many impressive statistics highlighted by Ludo Zenith, a game with 2 million plus downloads, experiencing an 80% surge in average revenue per daily active user post-Zebedee API integration. The Lightning Ecosystem. Voltage released a huge update to their Bitcoin development platform, redesigning their UI, allowing node operators to add team members with specific permissions, and updating their pricing models. Amjad Massad, CEO of Replit, started a poll asking if they should replace Replit cycles, the currency that powers their bounties, for Bitcoin and Lightning. 86.8% of the 4,136 voters on X, formerly Twitter, responded yes. Spirit of Satoshi released a Bitcoin and AI industry report that highlighted both their tools for Lightning-enabled crowdsourced LLMs and the benefits of an L402 integration in facilitating machine-to-machine economic activities. Blink announced a partnership with Distribuidora Morazan, supplier of 40,000 merchants in El Salvador. Additionally, they built a plugin for BTC Pay Server, allowing users to connect their Blink account to BTC Pay Server, sidestepping the need for a Lightning node. River launched River Link, allowing users to send Bitcoin vouchers that can be claimed in any Bitcoin or Lightning wallet. They also released their app on the Google Play Store. Zebedee announced a deal with FUM Games to integrate Bitcoin rewards into mobile game Space Y, and announced the return of Zebedee Infuse, a product that lets game developers easily add Lightning functionality to their games, with 1,047 games for Bitcoin rewards in Splitgate. BIPA released Veil Bitcoin, an LNURL withdrawal integration that enables users to gift sats to their friends, who can claim them in any Lightning wallet. Recently, they proposed and implemented an extension for LNURL that will allow for sender and receiver to negotiate a conversion rate on any currency, mainly targeting remittances. Pouch.ph partnered with One Co-op Tech to roll out Co-op Pay, a mobile wallet that allows cooperatives to send and receive Philippine peso and Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network. Prism is a non-custodial Nostr Zap app and Discord Zap bot, built on top of Nostr Wallet Connect. These apps can make payments to multiple parties in a single click, leveraging the Lightning Network and Nostr. NoOnes, a peer-to-peer marketplace and messenger, integrated the Lightning Network. Payments are available worldwide, with deposits being gradually rolled out for their customers. Musket, a UK-based merchant solution for accepting Lightning payments, launched support for their first customer in Brighton. Titan Mining announced their Lightning Network integration, which allows miners to receive block rewards every 10 minutes with no minimum payout. Legends of Lightning Volume 2 by Bolt.fun selected three winners among the 69 submitted projects to their hackathon. Bitcoin Connect, a library that enables users to connect their wallet to Lightning-powered websites, USDP, a DLC-based stablecoin, and Resolver, an adjudication and escrow for FOSS development bounties. SatsHack, a hackathon organized by Ventium during SatsConf in Brazil, had more than 65 hackers building 14 projects. The winner was MiniMaxis, an LLM for Bitcoin Miniscript coding assistance. The Build for Africa hackathon, organized by BTrust Builders, selected three winners from its 38 submitted projects: BitPension, a multi-sig retirement project; Splice, a Taproot Assets remittances project; and Stealth Money, a Bitcoin on-ramp. Pleb Lab is running the Top Builder Program, an 8-week educational program for Bitcoin hackers. 30 projects were mentioned and accelerated throughout the program, and the 6 finalists will be pitching in Austin, Texas on Startup Day in March. Africa Free Routing is hosting a Bitcoin Lightning development bootcamp in Lagos, Nigeria. The five-day deep dive with hands-on workshops and Q&A sessions will be taught by engineers at BitNob and IBEX. BitBlock Boom will host a hackathon on April 12th for developers building apps integrating both Lightning and Nostr. Anita Posh summarized her testing of self-custodial Lightning wallets under challenging conditions in Zimbabwe's rural areas in a great review post. Flash Protocol allows you to mint Taproot Assets collectibles with Lightning Network payments. OneKey integrated Nostr and WebLN support into their hardware and software wallets and announced a partnership with Flash Protocol for Taproot Assets support. Their team also posted a great summary of the L402 ecosystem. UXUI is a multi-chain wallet incubated by Binance Labs that recently integrated the Lightning Network and Taproot Assets. They're also running a Taproot Assets universe to help users explore what assets have been issued. Mash announced that they've partnered with Crypto Slate, so readers can add emojis and stickers and engage with content using the Lightning Network. Additionally, they released reward pages, enabling publishers and creators to incentivize engagement by rewarding their audience with Bitcoin withdrawals over Lightning, and Mash Premium, an orange checkmark for $15. Primal, one of the most popular Nostr clients, integrated a built-in Lightning wallet powered by Strike Black. Albi is now available for Firefox on mobile. Users can use the extension while browsing on their phones. They also added an LND onboarding tool to their extension, incentivizing self-custodial usage of their wallet. Jippy is a new interactive educational app for beginners to earn and learn about Bitcoin with others. The Bitcoin rewards are offered through a partnership with Jolts. Bitfinex released a Lightning channel service in partnership with BlockTank, allowing users to acquire inbound liquidity from BlockTank's Lightning Service Provider or LSP nodes. CypherChat is a new app for encrypted private messaging using the Lightning Network via the Lightning Node Connect Protocol, or LNC. Unleashed.chat by CoinKite reached 1,500 users paying Bitcoin to use their AI LLMs with file upload context embedding, Nostr embedded, and more. Flockster is an alternative to Meetup or Facebook events built on Nostr, with Lightning Zaps integration for rewards and ticketing. Soapbox, a Fediverse client that supports decentralized social networks like Mastodon, Pleroma, PeerTube, Threads, has integrated Nostr and Lightning Zaps for permissionless payments. BAT, the Bitcoin Auto Teller, is a portable Lightning ATM that accepts both fiat coins and bills, uses a 7-inch color screen display, and has an NFC reader for instant withdrawals via an LNURL, Lightning address, or Bolt card. Nostr Eggs is a toolkit that integrates the Nostr protocol with the Lightning Network, enabling private, efficient microtransactions for API services. Kali, the LMBits and Cashew developer, implemented a proof of concept of Robin Linus's Bitstream protocol for atomic swaps between files and Lightning payments in Cashew. Blixt Wallet has implemented new features like simple Taproot channels, zero-conf channel support in their Dunder LSP, which will provide smoother UX for user onboarding and Lightning Box support for Android, enabling users to receive Lightning address payments directly on their phones. Tiramisu Wallet proposed a standardized format for Taproot Assets metadata, which could allow for compatibility between multiple Taproot Assets apps. Sats Back is now live in the USA, their 16th country. More than 500 US-based stores are already giving Sats Back to shoppers through their platform. Additionally, they posted a demo for Sats Back in physical stores using the Bitcoin Eyes point of sale. Neutron Pay released their point of sale feature. The feature allows linking multiple devices to the same account for transactions across stores or allowing staff to accept payments using their own devices. They're also live in Thailand now. Vancouver Lightning Hack Day. Hackers built some innovative projects, one of them being a vintage vending machine running LND and LNBits, where each button conceals an NFC card with an LNURL unique to the corresponding soda. CityPay.io, a crypto payments processor, has integrated with the Lightning Network due to high customer demand for their enterprise payment solution. Orange Pill app, the geo-social networking app for Bitcoiners, integrated the Lightning Network for payment of their subscription. Beamable, a company enabling Unity and Unreal developers to easily add social, commerce, and content management features to their games, announced the launch of a starter kit for adding secure Bitcoin transactions to games in partnership with Zebedee. AcceptLN is a new service that allows users to send Lightning payments to any email address. PlebDevs released a back-end course teaching back-end development from scratch and how to build a simple Lightning wallet back-end. BTC Pay Server is implementing a plugin that will allow any Lightning point of sale to print Lightning vouchers. Fountain released version 1.0 of their podcasting app with a big design and user experience upgrade, along with new social features. They also introduced playlists in a partnership with Zebedee, where you can be rewarded by listeners from your playlist. HiFumi is a new Uber Eats equivalent from El Salvador that accepts Lightning payments. Zeus shipped version 0.8.1 of their mobile Lightning wallet with a standalone point of sale, Noster contacts, contact sharing via QR, persistent LND, and more. Balance of Satoshis, version 17.6.0, a popular tool for Lightning node management, has the first LSPs, API specifications for Lightning service providers, Channel Request API, live on mainnet, allowing node runners to get inbound channels and offer channel opens. Node Nation is a new pilot educational program by Decouv Bitcoin with the support of the Salvadorian government that will teach students how to set up, operate, maintain, and manage liquidity on a Lightning node. Cottony Pay, an on-off ramp service for remittances to Africa, announced a partnership with Machankura to offer Lightning payments and Azteco vouchers for their users. Hermes is a Lightning address server that uses Fedimint eCash on the back end. Egg worked on a proof-of-concept mint/LNURL server that holds payments until the Cashew wallet claims it. Bringin, a Lightning-enabled tool to spend and sell Bitcoin and get euros into a bank account or a virtual debit card, has publicly launched their app. Damas, one of the pioneering Noster clients, released Purple, a premium tier for project supporters. Users can pay for a membership through Lightning and access exclusive features like automatic translations of posts and more. Sats Contact provides users with a Lightning address that converts sats received over Lightning into Cashew eCash tokens in real time and notifies the user via a Telegram message. Mount Pelerin partnered with fellow Swiss company Swiss Bitcoin Pay to provide their merchants fiat conversions in 12 different currencies. Amboss launched their risk management platform for Lightning nodes, Reflex. They also introduced Ghost Address, enabling Lightning address payments to self-custodial nodes through a fake node ID intercepted by the real receiver. Umbral introduced Umbral OS 1.0 and the new upgraded Umbral Home. They also released a new version of their Lightning node app, adding a host of requested user features. Zaprite just launched a new WooCommerce integration, allowing merchants to use Zaprite checkout to collect Bitcoin on-chain and Lightning payments for their e-commerce stores, directly into self-custody. Sats Mobi is a Telegram bot with a built-in Lightning point-of-sale applet. Minibits, a Cashew wallet, can now receive Lightning Zaps as eCash. Cashew Addresses now allows users to receive Lightning payments that are then sent to a Cashew mint of choice and received as eCash. Npub.cash is a new eCash-powered Lightning address server that automatically onboards anyone with a Noster public key. Strike is officially live in Puerto Rico with their full suite of services. NiceHash, the cloud mining marketplace, now supports LNURL payments for more user-friendly Lightning withdrawals. Azteco Bitcoin vouchers are now available in Italy at over 5,000 Mr. Pay stores and kiosks. In South Africa, users can now use EasyPay and Acoin vouchers to buy Bitcoin. LN Plus integrated Speed, a Stripe-like platform focused on Bitcoin as a payment processor for Lightning payments. Swiss Bitcoin Pay built a new Bolt Card open-source app that lets you turn any Lightning point-of-sale provider invoice into an NFC-payable invoice. How Lightning Will Connect the AI Economy. Joe Lonsdale, co-founder of Palantir, recently told CNBC that AI agents will be an important future buyer of Bitcoin, as they'll be using it to coordinate. And LightSpark CEO David Marcus added that, of course, these AI agents will be settling over Lightning. It seems that the narrative that we wrote about last August about how AI agents will use Lightning is catching on. Especially now that AI costs are soaring, it is becoming clear that the Lightning Network will connect the AI economy as its new economic models demand more flexible payment structures. It is no surprise that the market is waking up to this possibility, as the Lightning developer ecosystem has been busy shipping code to support AI agents. Tweet from Open Agents Incorporated. Episode 63, Agent Pays L402 Endpoint. We equip our agents with the ability to consume any L402 endpoint by paying its Lightning invoice. Our demo agent now takes four important actions: runs a similarity search over a vectorized knowledge base, passes the most relevant results to a Mixtral LLM, calls a WASM plugin via Xtism, calls an L402 API endpoint, here using the weather demo from Sulu Solutions, and pays its Lightning invoice via our GetAlbi wallet. Our core functionality of composable paid AI agent workflows is now complete. Next, we clean up the UI and prepare for users. Open Agents CEO Christopher David recently shipped an end-to-end demonstration of an AI agent purchasing data over the Lightning Network. This demo shows off the power of the Lightning Network so well. 1. The AI agent accessed Lightning via the Albi wallet, a popular browser extension. 2. The server itself charged for the data sale using an L402 proxy built by Sulu Solutions, an API monetization startup. And 3. The AI agent not only paid Sulu Solutions for the data, but also paid the decentralized GPUtopia network of Lightning-powered AI providers for inferencing services. This type of permissionless, frictionless economic activity between autonomous agents is exactly what the Lightning Network can do better than any other payments network. Four different companies running software built by different entities running on different continents, some managed by humans and some by robots, all connecting over the common programmable payments layer of the Lightning Network. Amazing. Further, FewSats released the alpha version of their platform where developers can upload, share, and monetize their code recipes, small self-contained programs tailored for specific functions via the L402 protocol. And Cascader, a very cool project in the Legends of Lightning hackathon, showed off how L402 paid API services like AI vision, text-to-image generation, and more can be discovered, integrated into a workflow, and combined into a whole application greater than the sum of its parts. We love to see it. The momentum in this ecosystem is palpable, and the timing seems right for the convergence of these two world-changing technologies. Follow along as the Lightning and L402 developer communities continue to release new tools and onboard the AI economy to Bitcoin and Lightning. Lightning Labs News. Product. Earlier this month, we released Taproot Assets version 0.33 Alpha, which reduces resource requirements for public universe servers and makes sending and receiving of assets more robust, amongst other improvements based on developer community feedback. We've been incredibly impressed with all of the activity from the Taproot Assets developer community, who have issued over 113,000 distinct mints, where each mint can produce a very large number of assets, with the default universe server thus far. Additionally, we released LND 0.17.4, which included fixes for more efficient memory usage when using polling mode for Bitcoin D, sync improvements for pruned nodes, and channel open hangs. As always, we recommend upgrading to the latest version of LND to ensure the most performant operations. For Lightning Loop, a service that allows users to replenish inbound liquidity, loop out, or outbound liquidity, loop in, on the Lightning Network, we released version 0.27.0, which introduces batchable loop outs. Users making many loop outs in a short period of time will now see their individual transactions aggregated into a single output, significantly reducing their on-chain fee costs. Finally, Lightning Terminal now has batch channel open functionality, which allows for node operators to save on-chain fees when allocating capital to open Lightning channels. Follow our ongoing YouTube series, Navigating Your Node with Terminal, to learn more. This episode is brought to you by the Cold Card Hardware Wallet by CoinKite. If you are saving in Bitcoin, if you have any substantial amount of Bitcoin, the best thing you can do is get it behind your keys. And if you want the next level security, if you want the dummy pin and the brick me pin, the passphrase wallet, the completely air-gapped from start to finish, the ability to physically break any and all wireless functionality on the device, you want multi-sig and using partially signed Bitcoin transactions in some complex or, you know, multifaceted setup, the Cold Card can do all of this. They have so many features and so many very specific use cases and edge cases that you can plan for. And if you just want a hardware wallet that works, that lets you easily tap to pay in order to, you know, with NFC, so that you can just use a mobile wallet and separate your keys, which is how I use it. In fact, I kind of make use of all of this stuff, but I just love it for the easy on the go. I can plug it in, tap to pay right there on my mobile wallet. The Cold Card, the Tap Signer, CoinKite's devices are made to do exactly that as well. You can just get the full range, the easy, quick version that is super secure, or the next level cypherpunk toys and tools that you want to play with and explore and create all kinds of fun setups. CoinKite literally has it all. There's a discount code Bitcoin Audible right there in the show notes and a link if you want to check them out. All right. So this was a fantastic update from Lightning Labs. And I think one of the big things is, one of the big takeaways really is the growth. And in fact, I encourage you to go to the article. The link again is in the show notes, as it always is. But look at the chart of the amount of GitHub and developer activity that is specifically in layer two protocols. Like just the steady, consistent growth of Lightning and the development and the usage of it as the liquidity grows out. It has just been so awesome to see this kind of come to fruition. And I also love the amount of development and excitement around Fedimint and eCash, which is being bridged by the Lightning Liquidity Network. And as he specifically pointed out, and why I think this made so much sense as the direction to push Bitcoin in, or kind of the development direction, is to start with Lightning, is because Lightning became the interconnection layer for every other L2, every other joint system, multi-sig, trust, service with backed, fully backed reserves, whatever the hell it is, Fedimint, eCash, any and all things that we can build just become a translation between Lightning and whatever that tool or corner of the ecosystem is. And increasingly, I'm able to use this more and more. Like being on a Bitcoin standard, I notice that Lightning is easier to use than on-chain Bitcoin now. When I go somewhere or am trying to do something or connect something or pay for something, whatever it is, and Lightning doesn't show up as an option, it's actually really frustrating because almost everything, and I think that's really what's kind of happening, is we're getting to this point where there's kind of this, I don't know if you want to call it an intolerant minority, there's just this threshold of people who are now just using Lightning constantly, that increasingly, if you do not have that Lightning integration, you have a big barrier, essentially, to the ease of use for your platform. And that's why I think we've seen in the last 6 months to a year just a lot of exchanges finally turning Lightning on with, you know, everything that's going on and services starting to accept Lightning, like Brains OS, or not Brains OS, but Brains Pool started Lightning payouts, and then Ocean is also doing Lightning payouts. And the thing about network effects like this is that as you get to a threshold, Kosher is a great example, right? Is because there is a minority of the network that demands kosher food, it's essentially the bulk of what you can get is kosher, simply because you can't ignore that part of the market. And I think Ryan Gentry is right here, that we're reaching this point where the momentum is picking up quite a bit, and the Lightning Network has done nothing but grow. The amount of liquidity, the amount of payment flow and volume through it, as we read with, I think it was the Arcane Research piece. I think it was Arcane Research that did the one about basically detailing the 12,000 or 1,200% increase in relative volume over the period of the last year, which I think that was towards the beginning of 2023. So I don't know what the most recent data is on it. I believe that's a year old at this point. Basically, I think in my use of it is probably a really great example, too, of just how much easier it has been to use. You know, everybody's complaining about onboarding people into Lightning when, you know, runes, everybody's starting to print a whole bunch of runes and BRC20 tokens after the halving. But what's funny is that if you are onboarded, if you've been using Lightning, like, nothing changed for me, not even the fees on Lightning. Like, everything, like, my 1,000 sat payments to, like, Zaps and stuff on Noster were still basically, you know, 7 sats, 8 sats. And that's actually a pretty high sat thing. If you connect with Bitfinex, the Bitfinex node, they have insanely low fees compared to basically the bulk of other nodes. And they're also really well connected, so you often need very few hops to get your payment where it needs to go. But I think there's also something to point out here. If you want to push back against the what is happening in Lightning, because in the sense that we still need a retail solution, like, I really feel like where Lightning is finding its strongest footing is in the service provision and business side. Like it's in the market itself. Like, a business is more likely to have Lightning channels, and a wallet service provider is more likely to have Lightning channels. Whereas the LSP model is great, I still don't think the software is quite there for it to be so easy to use. And it's getting, damn it, it's getting close. With Phoenix D released and the ability to now essentially run your own LSP, I still think we need a couple of steps in making this easier to use to kind of distribute the ability to host, so to speak, because I think we need to better utilize where the highly technical user can run a node and take advantage of that. But where I have seen the bulk of Lightning adoption and the bulk of the activity is basically business to business. And especially at this stage, like, when we're looking at the build out of the Lightning Network, I think that does make the most sense in addition, because it's such a potent tool for compressing enormous amounts of payments. So Lightning actually works better at scale. The smaller you are going with the degree of usage and the amount of initial payment, like when we're talking about sending or receiving $1 the very first time, essentially, Lightning struggles the most in those situations. And I think a big reason why custodial services are so heavily leaned on, and what I think we've seen this with Noster, and we've talked about this before on the show, and it's been pointed out by a lot of different people. I think it was Fiat Jaff was one of the people who posted, like, a chart or whatever, like 90% of the Zaps or whatever were on custodial wallets. Wallet of Satoshi is a great example, because they ended up shutting down all access to U.S. users, and because after being, like, a wildly popular wallet. But the big issue there, and the big reason, I don't think it's specifically a Lightning limitation in the sense that, like, or a user limitation in the sense that they wouldn't use a non-custodial, or that there's not a non-custodial option. It's that there's not a non-custodial, an easy non-custodial option that allows you to receive offline, that allows you to receive with a Lightning address. And this is also why I think, you know, we had Super Testnet on very recently, Hedgehog is such a huge deal. Because the ability to essentially forward payments and then enable the ability to just sit and wait payments on the Lightning Network without the time decay that they currently have with HTLCs and with, you know, Mutiny tried to enable or implement the HODL HTLCs, and it resulted in a lot of force closed channels because those payments, specifically when you are routing payments through the HTLCs and all the different, you know, individual steps of the route, you have time decay because each piece of the route has to expire, each later piece of the route has to expire after each of the earlier spots in the route so that you can cascade, so that if somebody tries to force close somewhere, the next step in the route has enough time to force close their position or their payment first, because obviously they're due the payment. The payment is supposed to go through. So if anybody is attempting to reverse it or steal it or it's getting lost in the mix, the next person in the route has to be able to enforce it before the previous in order for it to actually get to where it's supposed to go. But because they use relative time locks, is you have a limited amount of time because of this cascading time lock problem. Whereas in Hedgehog, which essentially uses it, it creates a different trick that was created by Burak and for the ARC system. Super Testnet used these connector payments that enable you to just activate or make the payment active when a different payment is sent, when a different payment detail, like using the actual transaction details itself as a form of a lock on the next payment. So you suddenly only have an absolute time lock. You don't have a relative time lock, and it doesn't matter because the previous payment makes the new one valid. So because of this, you can basically sit on a payment. Like, let's say you have like a 4-hour time lock on an HTLC and 3 hours and 50 minutes go by. Well, you have to do something with that. You have to figure out what to do with it because your expiration of the invoice is your security. It is your ability to actually enforce the payment at all, the HTLC that's going across your node and your ownership in any of the channels of this payment that's going through you. With Hedgehog, you don't, 3 hours go by, there's no necessary expiration. You can just kind of sit there. And if anybody ever tries to challenge it or tries to take it, you can enforce it because you have the connector that allows that transaction to enable, to activate essentially your ability to enforce your ownership of it if it doesn't actually go through for some reason. But in the meantime, if you've got a 1,000 sat payment or a 10,000 sat payment that's like sitting on your node, it's fine to just kind of like sit and wait for the other person to come online. And then in addition is because Hedgehog only needs to activate essentially the update of the payment, all you need is, you can actually do this unilaterally because all you need is the transaction data. As soon as you get it, you can actually do it asymmetrically. So somebody can send it to you while you're offline, and it can be held somewhere, like using Keet is like a great example, is Keet does blind forwarding, right? As you have all of your peers send you the messages. So even though it's entirely peer-to-peer, messages get to where they're going when tons of people aren't online all at the same time. Well, in that same context is that you could do that to forward a payment, and then the other person could go offline, the person who sent it, but they don't need to be online. You don't have to have a two-way handshake every single time you update the signature with your channel partner or the person who's sending you funds. And when you come back online, you can just take that information, and then you know you have the ability to prove ownership, to enforce that ownership, and you can just update your half of the channel. That's why I literally think this is a huge, huge fix to one of the biggest limitations of non-custodial Lightning and the ease of use of Lightning. You combine that with the LSP model, and I think you have a recipe for solving a couple of the big hangups of Lightning and of receiving Lightning while you are offline. The obvious big drawback here, or at least in my opinion, is that you have to bootstrap an update to basically all of the nodes on the network. Not necessarily. You can create a little corner of the network that utilizes this and, you know, has users of a particular wallet or a particular ecosystem and tooling that is able to take advantage of this. But as soon as you go out over the broader Lightning network to somebody else's fountain address or something like that, you go back to normal Lightning. Or you necessarily go back to symmetrical payments, which will mean likely the need to use custodial solutions. Granted, Amboss has a really fascinating mechanism that they developed that he actually mentions, Ryan Gentry mentions in this article, of ghost addresses, which is a really clever trick to essentially intercept a payment in a way, but do so in a non-custodial fashion. So essentially you can, as I understand it, I didn't really dig into the technicals, but the simple high overview, probably not perfectly analogous, example is that they essentially take an invoice on your behalf or create an invoice on your behalf while you're not there and use they make a fake node essentially and use a address like a URL sort of thing, like, you know, the guy swan at fountain.fm. That's actually mine, but it's obviously custodial. Like Fountain is actually custodying that, and when I receive the payment, I then have to withdraw it. So they're just running a service, they're running a wallet, and people are paying Fountain to quote unquote my account. But in this instance, what they are actually doing with the ghost address is that they're allowing or creating a way to make a payment to essentially a fake node that enables them to accept it at, let's say, Amboss. I can't remember exactly what their thing is, but I can accept payment at theguyswan@amboss.io or something like that. What's their URL? Amboss.space. But somehow they're able to essentially get a payment. I think, I could be completely wrong about this, but I think in my head, what I remember reading, has been a minute, was that somehow they make it seem like the payment is going further than it's actually, like, going past you, and then they have a way to interrupt it so that it stops where, like, so it stops at your node or in your channel. And so they can do this completely non-custodially. Sounds like a really kind of crazy trick, and it's nuts that it even works. But I don't know enough about it, and I also don't think I know anybody who's used it, so I don't know how it actually plays out. And they said there's, like, a quirk of it is that you have to, most Lightning wallets wouldn't recognize it as having received a payment, so you would get sats, but the wallet wouldn't recognize the payment history. So it'd be like you would just have 1,000 more sats in your wallet, but you wouldn't have a payment that said you got 1,000 sats. Except in the case that the wallet actually supported it and knew to essentially look for that. So that's actually just a really cool trick to have a non-custodial Lightning address. But I can't quite decide if that makes sense in the scope of easier and alternative solutions. Like, I'm still surprised KeySend isn't more widely adopted, and I think that would be a really, really cool thing to see, although of course that still requires a node online, and maybe that's really, really where the big problem is that because people have to use, you know, DNS or addresses or whatever, and you need to have a node online, and people are more likely to use, even if they do non-custodial, they're more likely to use a LSP like solution, which is exactly is what I do. My main wallet is Phoenix. Like, I do have my BTC Pay server, but it's just not quite as good as, and not quite as responsive as Phoenix. So I kind of use it as like a hefty back end, so to speak. It's where I offload stuff. And I think of my Phoenix wallet as kind of like the front facing wallet, and I move it, or I quote unquote withdraw it to my own node when I feel like I have too much money in a mobile environment with a hot key, and I want to kind of offload it to a slightly more secure, slightly more separated instance, so to speak. But I think what we are seeing, just in a broader picture of where we are going in the Lightning ecosystem, is that business and service-related projects, you know, wallets, these sorts of things, are massively benefiting. Like that's where Lightning is really growing, but it still has a direct-to-retail problem, a direct-to-user limitation, or I guess trade-off in its current iteration. And it's slowly but surely fixing that. I mean, my experience with Lightning has been phenomenal. Like, it's incredible if you know the right tools, the ways that you can actually utilize it. Like I said, I use it every single day. I'm breaking out Lightning to do payments and zaps and God knows what else, far more than I use my card. However, there are two big caveats to that statement, is that one, all of my subscriptions go through credit card. Or not credit card, debit card. Like they go through a bank card. And then second is my Lightning address, you know, Fountain, Zebedee, Strike, whatever. Like a lot of the methods by which I receive Lightning payments when I am not directly interacting with the payment service or directly interacting with the app or platform that I'm engaging with a payment. Like if somebody wants to pay me while I'm not paying attention, essentially, I essentially have to lean on custodial services. But of course, it's very easy to withdraw from those custodial services, but I have to do that every day. I go to Fountain, I go to any of these others where I get, let's say it's tips or, you know, value for value stuff, zaps on Noster, whatever. But I go to these services and I have to actively move the funds off of those, which is a very low trade-off, I think, at this point. I think it's not a huge risk. I'm clearly taking a risk to the degree, taking the risk specifically relative to the amount of funds. You know, you're receiving $5 custodially from my perspective and just kind of the general, for talking about people from the West and from, you know, the modern countries, like $5 is not a lot of money in that context. But when we're thinking or talking about the general global South, India, like some of the poorer nations in the world, $5 becomes extremely meaningful. So in the context of like my custodial, it's very easy for me to risk $5, $50, $100. Like none of that is a huge issue for me. And I can explicitly take that risk proportional to the amount of funds I am going to, that are at risk, that I could potentially lose. I obviously do not use custodial when we're talking about any large or significant, like a very meaningful amount of funds in relation to my life or my safety or my family's safety. Even my loans are explicitly, you know, multi-sig based with Unchained. But one area, custodial or not, or pseudo-custodial, however you want to, well, no, I mean, technically it's just custodial. I don't want to confuse anybody here. But the development around Fedimint and eCash protocols, I think, are a really, really big deal. And it's also really cool to see specifically Ryan Gentry in this listing out and calling attention to the excitement around that, the fact that more and more development has been specifically around that as a prominent new player in the discussion around payment protocols, user-facing tools, and you know, alternative L2 designs. And Hermes is actually specifically, which I didn't know about it until this, I just clicked on it and started exploring it. I think I actually had heard it, but I don't think it registered exactly what it is. But it's a Lightning address server and service that allows you to receive Lightning payments, and then they forward, you essentially receive eCash on the back end. So it's custodial with privacy. But looking into it though, Hermes is not, they are a Lightning address service. So Hermes is not the custodian. They're using a Fedimint. So essentially the Fedimint is a federation. So it's kind of like Liquid in that sense, is you have a group of service providers that are the quote unquote custodians to the funds, while Hermes is establishing a Lightning address, just a DNS front, so that you have a GuySwan at lightning.com or whatever the hell you want it to be. And they can receive payments and then essentially lock the eCash payment to you and then just hold on to it until you come online to forward you the information to essentially, which you only can unlock. So they're able to essentially convert Lightning to eCash in a completely non-custodial fashion from their standpoint, so that you can receive on whatever Mint or, you know, federated eCash server that you want to. So regardless, it's just really cool to see continued development and to see other people talking about the fact that there is a lot of development and happening in that, because it's always like a year and a half, 2 years, when you start to see activity, you start to see somebody talk about something, and then, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, finally stuff starts to come to fruition. So it can seem like for a really long time that nothing is happening, but there's tons being built on the back end. And it's cool to just constantly get that refresh of people who are seeing the builders. Where is all of the activity? Where's the new excitement? What are the new tools that they're playing with and they're using to build with for watching where the new services and the new wallets and these things are going to be kind of in the next era or the next wave of all of this. I do, however, I think we should close this one out here. I have to run. I'm out of time here. A cool article by Lightning Labs. I love their regular updates. They're a great resource to just kind of keep up on what's going on with Lightning in the ecosystem development, that sort of stuff. And it's exciting to see the breadth of new kind of iterative improvements and new ways of using services and these things on top of Lightning. And I think with enough time, we basically will solve all of the major limitations of Lightning, save the one that is obvious is required for proof of reserves is the liquidity problem, except that will be solved simply because we will have liquidity. You just need a liquidity network for that problem. But the offline payments, the asymmetrical payments, these sorts of things, I think the major limitations of Lightning will be solved. And piece by piece, we will build a massive global payment network and ecosystem that will work from businesses, corporations, governments, high net worth users, all the way down to the $1, the 30 cent payments, including during onboarding and with users who scarcely use it rather than people who are power users like myself. It just requires a lot of building, and it's cool to see all of the things that are getting us piece by piece to that future. So with that, huge thank you to Ryan Gentry, to Lightning Labs, to all of these, the huge list of projects. And like I said, the link will be in the show notes. Please go through and check out. Like, you know, so many times I've found that there is actually some sort of a service or tool that solves some sort of a problem or is actually really great in some way, but it's just not widely known. And so people aren't using it. You know, a lot of our task is to find the things that people are building, because it's just as bad if the word doesn't get out or we don't use the solutions when they actually do arise or when they are actually built. So check it out. Go to that link. Start exploring the tools you got. And I think I'm going to dedicate like an hour or something in the next day or two to really kind of dive into a Fedimint or eCash tool, because I feel like I've really missed out on that. I have not properly explored that. And I think that is a huge area that needs some serious attention. So I'm going to devote a little bit to it, and I'll report back to you guys on my findings and what fun stuff I dig out when I go on that journey. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to CoinKite and Swan for supporting this show. You can find links and discounts in the show notes. I love you all, and I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. You You have no responsibility to live up to what other people think you ought to accomplish. I have no responsibility to be like they expect me to be. It's their mistake, not my failing. Richard Feynman.